This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the persons they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. I don't mind telling you, I like to be liked. I know few people who don't like to be liked, at least to some degree. Now, it's dangerous when our liking to be liked overrides our commitment to the values we've established for ourselves. That can make us vulnerable to the will of people, and then we become chameleons, changing who we are depending on the people that we happen to be with. So although it's normal and natural to want to be liked, we must never compromise our integrity or our commitment to our principles in order to be liked. If we do, we can't truly like ourselves. And that's bad, because of all the people on earth you have to live with, well, you have to live with yourself the longest than you do anyone else, so you might as well like yourself and live in a way so that you do like yourself. So be true to God first, and then be true to yourself, for you are God's special creation. Now, having said that, I want to let you in on a secret. It's the secret of being liked. And it's very simple. Here it is. Genuinely like other people. Now, of course, some people are more likable than other people, and some people are not likable people, at least not on the surface. But I'm talking about you and your general attitude towards others. Are you generally quick to judge others? Are you condescending most of the time? Be honest with yourself. Or are you generally warm and inviting and accepting of others? Will Rogers, the American humorist, is known for having said, "I never met a man I didn't like." Actually, that's only half the quote, so I suppose you could say he was misquoted. The full quote was Will Rogers referring to Leon Trotsky, the notorious Russian revolutionary and Marxist theorist. And the quote was in the Saturday Evening Post of November 6th, 1926. And the full quote is, Rogers said, "I bet you if I had met him and had a chat with him, I would have found him a very interesting and human fellow, for I never yet met a man that I didn't like." Now be careful here. Just because you find something likable in a person doesn't mean that you're not wary of them or that you approve of them. There are plenty of shysters in this world who are likable people but will also take you for all you're worth. And then there are others with whom you don't exactly jee-haw personality-wise, but who are nonetheless good and moral people. Now back to you. Can you have a little bit of that attitude from Will Rogers? It means that you are willing to listen to someone before judging them. You're willing to hear their story before you discard them as being unlikable and therefore unworthy. It's an attitude where we look to others with genuine love. It's really not complicated. You don't have to live in a monastery or retreat to an ashram on the other side of the world to have this kind of attitude. You just have to fulfill the command of Jesus, and that is to love other people unconditionally. And I didn't say that's easy, but it is, if you're a Christian, what you're called to do. And we don't do it to be liked. That's not the motive. And if it is, you won't be able to sustain it. And you'll be miserable because you'll be a people pleaser and people will be able to tell you aren't genuine. So here's what you do. Look at others with eyes of love and expect the best from them. Leadership author John Maxwell called it putting a 10 on everyone's head. Putting a 10 on everyone's head. He says it helps others think more highly of themselves. At the same time, it helps you. Maxwell quotes Jacques Wiesel that a survey of 100 self-made millionaires showed only one common denominator. These highly successful men and women would only see the good in people. Let me give you an example of how this works. Benjamin Disraeli and William Gladstone were competing for the position of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. These two leaders would go down in history both as great leaders, but with very contrasting personalities. Benjamin Disraeli won the election, by the way. Now, Gladstone was a very clever, very smart, witty person. He was brilliant, obviously. He was one of those kinds of people who pretty much know everything about everything. And based on his wit and experience, I mean, you would have thought he would easily win the election. What made the difference, though, was summed up by a woman who had dinner with both Disraeli and Gladstone a week before the election. The lady's name was Jenny Jerome. She's Winston Churchill's mother. When a journalist asked Jerome what her impression of the two men was, she responded, When I left the dining room after sitting next to Gladstone, I thought he was the cleverest man in England. But when I sat next to Disraeli, I left feeling that I was the cleverest woman. You see the difference? Disraeli had spent the whole evening asking Jenny Jerome questions and listening intently to her responses. He wanted to know everything about her, and he was genuine about it. He tried to steer the conversation towards her. Naturally, she talked. I mean, like us, we feel good usually when we talk about ourselves. See, Disraeli had mastered this art of making other people feel respected and important, and that's a key of charismatic leaders. Maybe you've heard of practicing mindfulness, of being all there when you are there, of focusing on the present moment. Maybe in this case we should say practice other mindfulness. That is, be aware of others. Think of others and who they are and what's important to them. After all, people are truly fascinating, aren't they? Yes, indeed they are. And that includes you. So look to others and get interested in them, and they will be interested in you. And then come back and join me here next week. In the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be. Dragged a comb across my head.